Today we are kicking off a brand new series that will culminate on Easter weekend. Over the next 3 weeks, I want to encourage you to lock in and do your very best not to miss a single message. And by the way, don't just go to church during this season, but be the church. Keep serving one another. Keep sharing with others the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Keep being faithful and keep sharing these services with the people that you're connected to online. And God may just use that act of obedience in a powerful, life-changing way. If you have your Bibles today, and I hope you do, why don't you grab them and turn to Romans chapter 6 today. Romans chapter 6. As you're turning there, let me just ask you a question. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we clap our hands after a song? Why do we shake hands with people when we see them? Or better yet, why did we used to shake hands with people when we saw them? Why do we say God bless you after someone sneezes? You know, there's so many things that we just do. And many times we don't even understand why we do them. In the church, I think baptism is one of those things. Now, if you're a regular church attender and you've been in church your entire life, maybe baptism doesn't seem that weird to you. But put yourselves in the shoes of someone that is brand new to the church or never been to church. A million questions have to be going through their minds as they're watching people lowered into the water. Today, we're going to attempt to answer a few questions about baptism. And so I really want to encourage you to have something to write with, something to write on. And as we navigate these questions, write the questions down, but also write down the answers that we find in God's word. The first question is very simple. What is baptism? Romans chapter 6 talks a little bit about that. In fact, in verse 3, it says, "Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Right off the bat, we see that baptism is all about Jesus. It says all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus. So mark it down. The foundation of baptism is the foundation of Jesus. And when a person is baptized, they are personally identifying themselves with Christ. They're saying, "I believe in Christ. I have a relationship with him. I've been saved by him. I've been forgiven and redeemed by him. And I've connected myself to the person of Jesus Christ." Baptism is a visual illustration that connects you to Jesus and a visual demonstration that connects you to his church. So we are baptized into Christ. That's what the word says. But what does that mean? It says all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. When we connect ourselves to Jesus, that means that we connect ourselves to his death. But check out what else it connects us to. Verse 4 goes on to say, "Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin." So baptism not only connects us to the death and burial of Jesus, it tells the story that through Christ, we've become a new person and we will someday rise again, just like Christ rose again. So the question is, baptism is what? It's a story, is it not? Baptism is a visual illustration of the Easter story. When a person is baptized, they are really telling a story without ever speaking a word. They're telling the story of Jesus. Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose from the grave. You tell that story when you're baptized. But baptism isn't just telling a story. Baptism is a celebration of the resurrection of Christ. We can celebrate today because Jesus isn't dead. Jesus is alive. Somebody say amen, right? And baptism tells this story in a way where everybody who witnesses baptism can grasp what it's all about. Not only are they telling the story about Jesus, but they are personally identifying with the story. They're saying, "Jesus is my God. He is my Lord. He is the boss of my life. He died on the cross for me and was buried and rose from the grave for me. And my faith is in him. My trust is in him. My hope is in him. And my salvation is a result of what he did for me. And that's why we celebrate baptisms here at First Baptist Cleveland. It's because we love Jesus. And we love seeing people come to know the Jesus that we love. So why do we baptize? Maybe you're wondering that today. Baptism is an ordinance of the church. That's one reason that we baptize. It's the fact that Jesus instituted baptism. In the church, we have two ordinances. The Lord's Supper is one, and baptism is the other one. The Lord's Supper really focuses primarily on the Lord's body and the fact that it was broken for us. Baptism, on the other hand, focuses primarily on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why when someone is baptized in the church, it's a time of celebration. That's why we clap our hands and we cheer when somebody is baptized. It's because it is a celebration. But not only is it a celebration, the Bible also tells us that baptism is an act of obedience. Jesus actually commanded us to be baptized. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Maybe you're thinking, well, baptism isn't that big of a deal because baptism doesn't save you. Listen to me. Obedience is always a big deal to God. It's a huge thing to God. Tithing, prayer, faithfulness, baptism. Listen, Jesus commanded it. And therefore, he calls us to be obedient to it. Let me tell you something else about baptism. Baptism is a testimony of repentance. Remember, Jesus requires it. God calls us to repentance. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter was talking. And Peter said these words, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I tell you what, grab your Bible once again and turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, it says that John was calling people to repentance and salvation. In fact, look at verse 6 real quick. It says, "And they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins." When you get to verse 11, Matthew writes the language that John used when he baptized all these new converts. This is what he said, "I baptize you with water for repentance." So that tells us that the purpose of baptism was to provide an opportunity for these Jewish people to confess their sins and turn away from their sins and to finally get right with God. For them, this was a chance to show that they were a brand new person. This was their opportunity to say, "I'm not the person that you've known all these years. I'm not the person that I used to be." For so long, these people had been identified by their Jewishness. They'd been classified by their famous ancestors. But now they had a new identity. They were now identified by their repentance. In fact, look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, "And don't presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" He was telling them, your lineage is not going to save you. You cannot inherit salvation. He'd say it again today. He's saying, you ain't going to heaven just because you live in the Bible Belt and your grandpappy was a Baptist preacher. It doesn't work that way. You've got to repent from your sin and you've got to trust Jesus. Salvation only comes through Jesus. I'll say it again. Salvation only comes through Jesus. You may be wondering, if baptism is connected with repentance, then why was Jesus baptized? And that's a really good question. It's the exact same question that John asked Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me?' Jesus answered him, 'Allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness.' And then John allowed him to be baptized." John didn't understand why Jesus wanted to be baptized. He knew that Jesus didn't need to repent of his sin because Jesus knew no sin. But Jesus said, "I need to be baptized to what? To fulfill all righteousness." So Jesus' baptism, it wasn't a baptism of repentance like John's was, and it wasn't a traditional Christian baptisms like ours are today. His baptism was one that set an example for other believers and also demonstrated steps of obedience as he was launching his earthly ministry. The baptism of Jesus also identified himself with sinners. It set the example for others and showed them symbolically what it looked like to, as Philippians 3:8 says, to gain Christ. Jesus' baptism was also the foretelling of what was yet to come. But before he launched his earthly ministry, Jesus was showing them that there was coming a day when he was going to die and he was going to rise again. He was already pointing to Easter Sunday. You see, Jesus went public through baptism. The question is, why does God call us to go public? Why does he call us to go public? One of the main excuses I hear why people don't want to be baptized is because they're shy. I've heard it said, I'm an introvert. I don't want to get in front of other people. Or because they may have friends or family members that disagree with their decision and they don't want to offend anybody by their baptism. Well, see, Jesus was intentional when he called us to go public. It's called counting the cost. Listen, it may cost you something to follow Jesus. It may cost you everything to follow Jesus. So the question may be, is your commitment to Christ worth it? Have you gone all in with Jesus to the point where you say, it doesn't matter what the fallout may be, it doesn't matter what the consequences may be, I'm going all in with Jesus and I'm going to obey what he tells me to do. A baptized believer is a person that's gone public in declaring that they are forever wedded to Jesus Christ. Forever. We would consider it odd if a husband never wanted to go public with the relationship with his wife, wouldn't we? I mean, can you just imagine? Like, okay, honey, I'll eat dinner with you as long as it's at home and nobody else sees us. Or we can go to a movie together as long as we take two separate cars and we sit on opposite sides of the theater. I mean, that would be strange, wouldn't it? Listen, it would be insulting. And in the same way, I think Jesus is insulted by his children when we will identify with him in private, but in public, we don't want anything to do with him. God calls us as believers to go public in our decision to follow Christ. Why? Listen, because baptism is an encouragement to the believer. It's an encouragement to the believer. There's something special about baptism. I call it raising your flag for Christ because that's what it is. You're identifying with Jesus. You're putting on a new jersey and declaring, hey, I'm on Jesus's team. It's a monumental moment for the believer. I can't even begin to tell you how many people I've baptized over the years. But you know what? I've never once had someone come back to me afterwards and say, you know, Pastor, I really regret getting baptized. It has never happened, not once. Why is that? It's because baptism is an encouragement to the believer. Secondly, I want you to see baptism is an encouragement to the church. When Jesus tells his followers to go and to make disciples, and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it lets us know that this is pretty important to the Lord. He tells us that this is our purpose. And when the church fulfills its purpose and gets to experience new life in the family, it's an encouragement to the body. Nobody ever goes to a baby shower and says, ugh, I hate babies. I wish babies didn't exist. No, listen. New life is exciting. And for the church, we ought to be overjoyed every single time the baptismal waters are stirred. Amen? Listen, baptism is an encouragement to the church. But not only that, baptism is an encouragement to the lost. Baptism creates curiosity in the minds of those who don't know Jesus. And I think that's one of the reasons God instituted it in the church in the first place. It's a visual illustration that people see and they ask, why? What does that mean? What are they doing? Why are they doing that? It's nonverbal evangelism and it's an encouragement to those who don't yet know Christ. Some have asked, you know, why do we baptize the way we do? And that's a great question. You're aware that other denominations and other religions, they baptize differently than we do. Some of you may come from one of those backgrounds. Maybe you used to be a Catholic or a Presbyterian, a Lutheran, some Methodists, Anglicans. And you may be wondering, hey, why do we baptize the way we do? Let me try to explain that to you today. The word baptism, it comes from a Greek word, baptizo, which literally means to dip, to plunge, to sink, to submerge, to immerse. That's what that word means. When you look that word up in the Bible and break it down, that's what it literally means. And that's the picture that we get. It's the picture of someone being fully immersed under the water. A good example of this is found in Mark chapter 1, verse 5, at John's baptism. This is what it says. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Many believe the reason they went to the Jordan River is because it was one of the few bodies of water in that part of the world deep enough to fully immerse someone in. John chapter 3, verse 23 also speaks to that. It says, John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem because there was plenty of water there. People were coming and being baptized. It says that they chose this location to baptize because, and I quote, there was plenty of water. In Acts chapter 8, verse 38, it says, so he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Another good example of this is seen at Jesus's baptism. You read about that in Mark chapter 1. In verse 9, it says, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. As soon as he came up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. In the first century, when the Gentiles were converting to Judaism, John the Baptist, which by the way was also known as John the Dipper in many parts of the world, baptized these believers by fully immersing them in the water. Not only that, but when Jesus was baptized, he was fully immersed as well. And that's why we baptize the way that we do. That's the biblical model that we've been given. Someone else asked the question, when should a person be baptized? When? At what point in their life? The short answer to that question is after a person repents of their sin and is saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Did you hear the first word? After. There are two different kinds of baptism. And I want to share those words with you today. You've probably never heard them in your life before. The first one is paedobaptism. Paedobaptism. And the second word is credobaptism. Paedobaptism, you have to look at that word, first word, paedo. In the Latin, that's a word that means infant or child. So this is the act of sprinkling or christening babies. Credobaptism, that word credo in the Latin means I believe. It's baptism by immersion, also known as believer's baptism. And it takes place after someone has placed their faith in Jesus Christ and is practicing that faith and can articulate that faith. See, baptism is meant to be a testimony of someone saying, I believe, to all who are there to experience it or witness it. There's a big difference between these two kinds of baptism. And I don't want this to sound antagonistic, but I don't think that you can biblically support infant baptism. I just don't. And hear me when I say this. If you were baptized as an infant, I don't think that that was harmful or sacrilegious to do that. I just don't think that that's what the scripture intended when Jesus commanded us to be baptized. For those of you who are watching today, don't start chatting in the comments saying Jordan hates babies. I don't hate babies, all right? In fact, I love the fact that we dedicate babies to the Lord here at First Baptist. It's one of my favorite things that we do throughout the year. In fact, when I was a baby, I was dedicated in my home church. And you may be wondering, as we're talking about this, why do we dedicate babies in the church? Another good question. And here's the fact. The Bible never commands us to do that. It never commands us to dedicate babies. But it does give us a model for it in Scripture. In Luke chapter 2, in this story, you may remember Mary and Joseph were bringing Jesus to the temple. Why? Well, it says to dedicate him to the Lord. I was dedicated, and I don't remember that day. But what I do know is that my parents dressed me up in a humiliating outfit, and they brought me before the church, and they gave me a New Testament that I wouldn't be able to read for about 10 more years. And then they prayed for me, and they committed me to the Lord. It was awesome. But you know what? It was more awesome for my parents than it was for me, because I don't even remember it. Some of you were baptized as a baby. Let me ask you a question. Was it more for your parents or was it for you? Can you remember it? Do you remember that moment? Were you confessing your love for Jesus Christ in that moment? Were you repenting of your sin that day? It's pretty obvious when a person is ready to go all in with Jesus. And after they go all in with Jesus, the Bible says that is when they should be baptized. Remember, that's what the Bible says baptism is all about. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin." The Bible says repentance and baptism go hand in hand. Someone asked, how old does a person need to be before they're baptized? Which is a great question. The Bible really doesn't give us a specific age, but Paul did talk to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And this is what he said. "And you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." I really believe that this is a case-by-case question. At the end of the day, you've got to know a couple of things. Has this person truly been saved? Do they know what they're saved from? Do they know what they're saved for? Can they articulate their salvation? And are they ashamed of the gospel? These answers to these questions will help you realize if a person is truly ready to be baptized or not. Let's go to the next question. Jot this down. Does baptism save us? A lot of people have this question on their mind and on their heart. You know, some people, some denominations believe that you have to be baptized in order to go to heaven. We don't believe that the Bible teaches that at all. In fact, let me give you one example of why we don't believe that. In Luke chapter 23, Jesus was hanging on a cross between two criminals. One of the men rejected Christ, but the other man chose to accept Christ. If you remember that story, you'll recall that the man who accepted him said to Jesus in Luke 23, 42, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This man was never baptized. He didn't have a chance to crawl off the cross and be baptized before he died. And yet Jesus responds to him in verse 43, saying, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So mark it down. Water doesn't save. Only Jesus saves. You can be really wet and really lost. And I'm afraid there are going to be a lot of people in hell that were counting on their baptism to save them. But the truth is, only Jesus saves. If you get dunked without Jesus, you know what that's called? It's called getting wet. There's nothing holy about the water in our baptistry. It is not holy water. You know what it is? It's Cleveland water. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that salvation comes through water. In fact, I want to show you a verse in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8 says, "For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." If baptism saved people, then this verse would be a lie. It says salvation is a gift from God and it doesn't come by works. Baptism is a work. And you know why God orchestrated it this way? He answers it right here. You know what he says? "So that no one can boast." If I could save you from hell and send you to heaven simply by dunking you in a pool of water, you better believe I'd be tempted to boast. Splash, saved, woohoo, right? I mean, I would be fired up. Can you just imagine that? I'd be dunking people like crazy. I'd have my own mobile dunking booth. I'd be driving around town today dunking people in a hazmat suit. If I could save you a baptism, that's all I would do every single day. You may be wondering today, if baptism doesn't save me, then why should I do it in the first place? The answer to that is simple. It's because Jesus tells you to, and you want to be obedient to the things that Jesus commands you to do. He wants you to go public in your faith. He wants you to raise your flag for Jesus Christ. He wants you to demonstrate to the entire world that you mean business when it comes to your walk with Christ. Think about it this way. When a lady gets married, she puts on a ring. But that ring doesn't make her married. She could be married without a ring, just like you can be saved without being baptized. But what that ring does is this. It serves as a sign demonstrating the fact that she's married. Now, if a wife refuses to wear her ring, I'm pretty confident that any husband watching this today would be pretty offended by that. Because by her not wearing her ring, she's basically rejecting him. So you see, that ring is really much more than just a piece of jewelry. It represents an institution and a covenant relationship between two individuals. And like a ring is symbolic for marriage, baptism is a sign of our covenant with God. It's us telling the world before God, I believe, I am unashamed of the decision I've made to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior.